Great to have your company on this Tuesday edition of Racing Pulse. Well, the famous, world-famous Royal Ascot Carnival is just a month away. And this morning, two important pieces of work from two Aussies who will be in action over there. The best sprinters, arguably, in Australia, Nature Strip and the World Home Affairs were in action for Chris Waller. And it's great to chat to champion trainer Chris Waller this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Michael. Good morning, everybody listening.
You're happy with their final major piece of work this morning, Nature Strip and Home Affairs? What did they do?
They had a jump out over 900 metres on the course proper, two-thirds of the way out on the track. They didn't go together. They went with other horses. There was a couple from our stable and a couple of others from other stables. And they just sort of went through their motions and just did everything right. So, respecting the tracks here in Sydney are really wet. Got no idea, unless you've been here, how much rain we've had. And look, we wouldn't have had rain for 3 or 4 days. And the course proper at Rose Hill was in excellent condition, but it was still better than a heavy nine. So they were going into it quite deep. So they were well held. They weren't pushed to run time or anything like that. It just went through their paces nicely, sort of. And as you said at the start of the interview, 28 and 32 days I worked out they are from Royal Ascot. So still got a bit of time up our sleeve. We don't want to be going off too early, and at the same time, we just want to be timing our run right.
So what are the logistics? When do you actually leave, and how long do you want them to get there before they need to race?
About 2 weeks, I think, is the sweet spot, but there's just no room for error. We're banking on them recovering quickly from a very arduous journey. It's a little bit different to people. I think they've got 3 stops. I think Singapore, Dubai, and then London. The 2 stops, I should say. So, and then you've got to respect that they're going from the stable, they've got to wait at the airport, and vice versa at the other end. They've got to be unloaded and gradually get across to their stable where they're staying. So, massive trip. So I think that's the key, is just getting them in good condition before they go, respecting that they need rest, recuperation time post-trip, and then if we've got a chance to give them a bit of work and stretch their legs quicker than just a normal canter, that would be great. But at least if we get on the plane knowing that most of the work's done, you can sort of deal with any issues of fatigue or leaving a bit of feed and all the general jet lag that a horse or person would have to endure. So horses are probably worse than us. I feel they could have jet lag for a lot longer, considering they're going into a different hemisphere and different season. So I think, fortunately, for the late autumn and spring is similar, except for the time of the daylight. So these are all little things that can shock a horse, but I think the 2 week window is normally pretty good. I find they start to go off after that 2 week period, and we get a lot of horses in reverse, of course, coming out from Europe, and you can see them really struggle when they work out that they're in a completely different season.
Gee, it's exciting for us who will be watching on cheering the Aussies to have 2 stars head over to Royal Ascot. How exciting is it for you, Chris, at this stage?
I personally feel it's a lot of expectations, which I get, I understand, it's great. If you can get it right, it's a fantastic showcase for Australia and New Zealand with our connection. So, it's just a matter of us getting it right and making sure the horses are in the best possible condition, respecting that the powerhouses of America, England, Ireland, France, as well as some smaller racing countries will be there, basically the best on offer. So you could say it's the Olympic Games, and the best sprinters around the world. You don't go over there thinking that you're going to win the race. You go over there thinking you're going to be fighting the race out with the best in the world and see how we fare.
So Nature Strip's aimed at the Group 1 King Stand on day one, and then Home Affairs, the Group 1 Platinum Jubilee, 4 days later. If Nature Strip wins the King Stand or runs really well, could he do a Choisir and back up in the Jubilee as well?
If he wins by 10 lengths, definitely, Michael. we're not gonna put... we're just going to keep all options open, including races. including races. It's our preference for Nature Strip to be running over 1,000. I think it's going to be a really tough 1,000. I think it's completely different to Flemington. And Flemington's a great guide that they run well straight. But yeah, the up and hill, up and down challenges that come along the way, as well as the big day, it's a big event. So you're leaning that way, Nature Strip 1,000, and leaning 1,200 home affairs with Platinum Jubilee. But honestly, want to keep all options open. Things can change, as well as depending on how they travel. So we'll keep all options open. Respecting Nature Strip, like he's going to come back for Everest, and we want to make sure we leave something in the tank for that as well. But keep the options open, and certainly looking at the history books for what can be done and what can't be done.
While you're over there with your two best sprinters, your best horse, arguably, Very Elegant, will be over there, but with a different trainer in Europe as well. And the dust has settled, and unfortunately, there's been a bit of dissent in the ownership group, Very Elegant. What's your view on the whole situation now? Are you happy to see her go over there and excited to see what she may do?
Of course, yeah, very happy and excited, like we all are. I just hope for the horse that she's still at her best, because if she's at her best, she'd be very competitive with the right conditions, providing she acclimatised, things like that. So it's a big challenge, and good on the owners for making that decision. I put all the cards on the table after the run of the Queen Elizabeth, and basically said, look, you've got three options. If you want to prepare properly, you probably have to go over earlier. If you want to test the water and see how she's going first, then maybe it's a smart idea to do it here. But I said to them that probably rules out the Arc de Triomphe, because it's just such a quick run-up. And I was adamant she needed a break, which they've done. They've given her a nice break. I think she's up to about 5 weeks now. So, look, they've done everything they can in terms of listening to me. They've respected everything I've said, and they've been great to deal with. And yes, there's differing opinions, but you're going to get that when you've got 10 owners and a horse. That's only fair. And the last conversation I had with them was very good. They were all under the same page. They all respected that people had different opinions. So, yeah, there's no problems there. They'll all have a beer at the end of the day. And the emotions of owning a racehorse, Michael, it's something quite different. The good horses are just a different level altogether. Everybody, well, obviously, nothing improves horses like ownership. It's an old Bart Cummings saying, it's just a hard one to work out, especially in the twilight of a horse's career. So it was a dream for most of the owners to take a horse to Europe. They've achieved everything they can here in Australia, and good on them for having to go, and we'll be making sure that she gets on that plane in the best possible condition, and I'll be helping out where I can, and I'll welcome her home when she's finished racing. Hopefully she ends up back in Australia someday.
It was just purely logistics that it was going to be too difficult for you to continue training her over there? I'd imagine it would be difficult to...
Yeah, to do the job properly. Firstly, you've got no idea how the training facilities work, and logistically, like, I can't be getting on a plane every 2 weeks and going to check on her. When you're trying to learn out training tracks and lead up races, mission, you need to be there like 24/7, full time job training horse. I can tell you that much from experience. So yeah, I think it's just completely impossible. So they had the choice of trainers in England, Ireland, and France, and they've made it a bit easier. Their targets are France, where there's some nice races, not just the Arc de Triomphe. There was a lovely lead up race 3 weeks before. It's probably a realistic race to win. So I guess it was logical to save bunny hopping around the European countries that she goes to France. So on them for making that decision.
Chris, we've got the chairman of Racing Victoria coming up very soon. I know you've got a Melbourne base here, so I wonder how closely you've been following the debate about a possible inner track at Caulfield. You've got the inner Kensington track. Have you been keeping across the debate of an inner track at Caulfield, and what's your view on building a new track there which would support Wednesday night racing?
Yeah, I swear on my life, I haven't taken any notice whatsoever. So off the cuff. If they get it right, it's great. I think people are very creatures of habit. They like to go to those metropolitan tracks. Yet Victoria does a fantastic job. These clubs like Pakenham and Cranbourne, there's amazing training facilities, and Ballarat even. And then they've got a racetrack there as well. It's fantastic because I think you can see most metropolitan areas struggle when we have a lot of rain. So sharing the load of tracks, I think, is good. But when you've got state-of-the-art facilities in terms of stands, for example, Randwick, I think they spend $150 billion on a stand. Like, you need to be utilising them. And night racing is going to be a big thing, unfortunately. Trainers don't like it, but wagering obviously rules our incomes and ongoing success of racing. So you just, move with the times and hope that the experts making decisions are actually experts. And if they are, we've got to support their decisions. So, I guess total renovation is the way to go. You can't just put in a track and just say it'll work. You've got to incorporate them with bigger tracks. And I guess a track like Singapore, it's something they race on sort of 52 weeks a year, and they have sort of A, B, C, and D, I think they call it, rather than rail moves, and it seems to work pretty well there. So I'm sure there's been plenty of thought put into it.
Well, it's a contentious issue down here. We'll see what Brian Kruger says. Just a quick one before I let you go. September run, Goodwood on Saturday?
Probably, yeah. It's a tricky race. Set weights and penalties for her. I just had a quick glance at the weights this morning and a horse like September run. I think she's got 57 away game, might be 54 and a half. It's sort of a tricky race for a multiple Group 1 winner. So, we've got to sort of give it some serious thought in the next few minutes. It's either there or head up to Queensland for a 1,300-metre Group 1 race in about 10 days' time.
I'll let you get to your business. Chris, I really appreciate your time this morning. We're counting down the days, as you are, to Royal Ascot. We look forward to you flying the Aussie and Kiwi flag while you're over there.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone.